What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast right here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host, Dave Sturcio, alongside America's fan, Keith Ernst, and, of course, nationally known comedian, Brett Ernst. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I like your koozie there. I like your koozie. The Dallas Cowboys have won four straight games. And I'm going to ask you guys one quick question about that fact. Oh, boy. Brett just came on camera for a second. That was brutal. But I will ask you guys the question. Are you eating any cheese? Are you starting to like nibble on the cheese? Are you?
I'm your cheese.
I'm the cheese, too. It's horrible. Screw the cheese. No, I'm not. I mean, I'm enjoying it week by week, dude.
I'm with my brother on this.
I just realized that, you know what? I mean, how many games did we win last year? Five? Six?
Six. So we're almost there. We're almost there.
So just think about that. We had how many weeks of, we had 10 weeks of, you know, losing sleep and, you know, of just the horrible losses we've had. So we've gotten through four, we've had four good weeks. Even the first one was a loss, but it was an encouraging loss, right? The first
one. Yeah. I mean, a little moral victory there.
For
our
stress emotional level, it's been pretty good so far.
So far, so good. They have now, the Cowboys have nine straight games with two or more takeaways, and they're doing very well on defense. Trayvon Diggs gets another one last week. The defense is something that we obviously are all shocked about. Overall, the total defense not looking good as far as the rankings are concerned, because believe it or not, our pass defense has given up a lot of chunks of yards, which, again, that just happens in garbage time, a lot of it. But I will say this, how impressive is the run defense all of a sudden? Like we're like second, I believe, in run defense. And last year we were like 31st.
Are we really second?
Yeah. I just looked at it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. No, that's great. I'm blown away and I'm very happy about that. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's what you need, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the recipe. I mean,
we were missing that. And then, you know, and as far as like our pass defense goes, we're making up, and like you said, it is at the end of the game, those chunks, but even if not, we're making it up with these interceptions.
Yeah, the turnovers have been incredible. Trayvon Diggs, ready for this? I mean, you guys already know this stuff as far as his interceptions are concerned, and he's got 6 in 5 games. The NFL record to start a season with an interception in a row, like consecutive games, he's sitting at 5. And the record is 6. It's there's a 3-way tie. But can you guys name one of the guys who hold that record right now?
You mean that's playing?
No. All right. So the record for
there's three of them that have six right now, right?
An interception in 6 consecutive games.
Yes, that's the NFL record. Can you guys guess one of them?
Deion.
No.
That's Everson Walls.
No. Ready for this, though? There's significant Cowboys lineage here, and it is Mr. Tom Landry. Did it with the New York Football Giants, and he had 6 games in a row with an interception. Trayvon Diggs is chasing that this week as we go into the Patriots. But, yeah, that was pretty impressive. I think I read that last week, and I was really excited to tell you guys.
Really? That's great, man.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that nuts?
Every time he picked it off, though, he went, meh. Man, give me another interception. See, man.
So obviously the Giants game comes and goes. We beat the brakes off the Giants, and you know I'm the Giants with all their injuries. Though I mean everybody fell off the face of the earth. We did catch a little flack for the hit that Jabril Cox laid onto Daniel Jones, right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, wait, as soon as you're out of the pocket, you are officially a running back. Good luck. You know what I mean?
Like slide.
And he didn't slide and he put his head down.
And he's running like he's a running back. You get hit like a running back. I'm tired of these quarterbacks doing that and everyone going, oh, dude, I was watching the Monday night game, and Lamar Jackson, by the way, phenomenal.
He's something else.
But he was running one time, and he faked like he was going to slide, and they let up, and he ran for like another 15 yards.
That's the secret, you know.
I'm just saying, though, these quarterbacks, you know, they have enough rules to protect them, and Daniel Jones could have used it, and he didn't, and he got lit the F up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'll tell you something else that's bothering me, too, is especially, you know, there's a lot of Cowboy haters out there, right?
And, obviously.
And, you know, look, there's one thing to be realistic. We take it game to game. You know, we've been here before. We've been disappointed before. But now they were talking. Nobody's brought up how many injuries we have, right? How many of ours? What are we missing? Five starters?
Well, you got Lyle Collins.
We got Collins out. You got Gallup out, right?
You got Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence is out. And now they're talking about how easy our division is. But all those years the Patriots won, nobody ever brought that up.
No, yeah. You're right. Oh, and by the way, I'm me. We're fifth in rushing defense, but dude, like, still, like, come on.
I was gonna say, well, that's still good. That's still great.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. But you're right.
You looked that up.
I had to. I have
because you know I was going to.
I know. I had the program thing. RJ does a fantastic job. It's actually, you could see it, Keith and Brett. If you're ever in that Slack channel, he sends out a massive press release for, like, and it's got everything. So that's basically where I get all my stats. But
people like on the news, you know, are Dallas for real? And I get it. We've all been here before, but now they're bringing up the week. You know, I think if all the Cowboy fans listen, just take it game to game, enjoy it game to game. And, you know, this is fun.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, right now, in the last three games, I know we've won four in a row, one of them being L.A., where we scored 20 points. But the last three games, we've scored 35 or more. Like, and that includes two 40 burgers. Me and Brett were in the house for one of them. And then obviously this one that we just had against the Giants with an extra pick six, which I don't know. How do you guys feel about Brown taking that to the house instead of sliding? I loved it too. And I think all the Cowboys.
Wait,
loved
what
it.
Are like you talking about?
Who didn't like it?
I'm just saying there's people out there that, you know, that like they're like the Giants won't forget that. You know what I mean? Like, but one of those.
I know. Especially that guy. I mean, everyone's right. So hard on him.
He needed him, one. Absolutely. If anybody needed a pick six, it's Anthony Brown. You know what I mean? And I think he's got his hands full this week. As far as, you know, as we dive into the New England Patriots coming up now, they're 2-3 going in. The Dallas Cowboys right now in the NFL are first in yards per game, and they're second on third down conversions, which I think is the biggest telltale stat of what this team is all about. I've watched that Zeke fake pitch over the top, like tricky, you know, whatever the hell you want to call that. Kellen Moore, I've watched that play a million times as he high steps into the end zone. The only thing I'm screaming about, and I know that the play itself worked, but I was so worried that they were going to flag Zeke on the high step, like just for the taunting.
You know, by the way, Starch, I love you, but you hit the panic button like I've never seen before in my life in text messages.
With what?
Just where he goes nuts on it. Like, remember when there was one play where I think we ran a kind of a dumb play, and you were like, "What was that?" Oh no, it was when CeeDee Lamb came in as running back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on, do we really need that?
Like, what do you expect? It's Kellen Moore. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? He's been awesome. We better hope he doesn't leave as a head coach.
We didn't need that CeeDee play.
No, we did not. We did not. But like, again, there's always one to two cute moments that Kellen Moore gets that he's like, you know what? This is the time to try it. Let's see if it works. And sometimes, look, that Zeke play was genius, a legitimate stroke of genius. And that goes to show you how good he is. The only thing I have a problem with is there was once upon a time we had a really good offensive coordinator that the offense was flying high. His name was Jason Garrett. We kept him around, made him the head coach. And then what? You know, so I do worry in that regard. I'm not saying Kellen Moore is going to go anywhere, but there are going to be vacancies he's going to be interviewing with. That's just the way it is. So it's up to Jerry to see if like he kind of gives him the Garrett treatment and says, look, no matter what, when McCarthy's done, you're the guy. You're the official head coach, the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So that could be in writing. You know, they could sign some kind of deal, like a handshake agreement. I don't know. But anyway, yes, he's been calling a very good offense, and that's why every single offensive play, I mean, for God's sakes, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard right now as we enter week six are, I believe, respectively, number two and number five, or number three and number five. We have the two. We have two top five running backs in the NFL.
I thought he was number 10.
Zeke? No.
Not Zeke. Tony Pollard.
Oh, it might be two top 10.
I
but whatever
it's
the
two case, and 10. Yeah.
I thought it was five. But anyway, look, I mean, that's still incredible.
You also thought the second run defense.
So. All right. So I'm me right now. It's Friday.
Your stats are a little off.
It's Friday morning as we record this. I'm tired. I played another softball game last night. So,
Juggles a family. So I'm with you, Sturge.
Oh, dude, I'm all over the place. But 18 days away from baby boy Sturge coming to the world.
Oh,
so,
18, yeah, dog. Yeah.
18 days. Hype baby. He's going to be, I'm going to bring him into the world. And I tried to tell you guys that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl because I was going to have a son this year, but y'all didn't want to believe me. But hey, listen.
When they do the sonogram, whatever, when they show the picture of the baby, is it shaped like a star?
That's his head, right? He just has a star head. Like, sir, this is a little weird. And I don't know how to break this to you. All right. So the New England Patriots are coming in. Or not coming in. We're going there to New England. So when this game was announced, it was announced technically as the 17th game for the Dallas Cowboys. So this is their crossover game. This is the game that they added to the schedule. And right off the rip, when the schedule came out, you're thinking Foxborough, you're thinking Cam Newton, you're thinking Bill Belichick, you're thinking that the Patriots are going to be a little bit better than what they were last year. Now they're 2-3. Mac Jones, we'll talk about him in a second. But just to go back on the stats as far as the history of this team, these guys have met just 13 times ever. And the Cowboys have lost six in a row to the New England Patriots. So, and the last time the Cowboys won, Tom Brady wasn't the quarterback. So that was 1996 is the last time the Cowboys beat the Patriots. This year, obviously, Tom Brady is no longer the quarterback. Makes you feel a little better. No? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Of course. Well, actually, no. I would love another shot at that. That's how I am.
I mean, we had a shot at Brady in week one.
I know we did, but I'd like it with the Patriots. I mean, it's just, you know, just to know that we never beat him with New England, you know.
It's ridiculous, though, if you think about it.
And we didn't beat him with Tampa either, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll get another shot at that, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, the Patriots come in. They're very hot and cold. Here's a weird stat. They haven't won a game at home yet. You know what I mean? So all the games they've lost are at Foxborough. They won their two road games that they probably should have won. They beat the Jets and I believe the Texans, right? But they struggled. You know, they struggled with the Houston Texans, and I don't know if it was more susceptible to the big play because I believe I saw a flea flicker in there. You know what I mean? Like there was a couple plays that the Patriots just were completely caught off guard. But when you look at this Patriots team led by Mac Jones, Keith, like do you find them to be a threat? I mean, they're 26th in scoring. They're minus three in a turnover margin where Dallas is plus seven. So they're not playing like good football yet. I mean, I talked to a writer on the Boston Globe this week on my other Cowboys podcast, and you know, he's not confident in this, but he is confident in knowing that the Patriots are going to get better as they go. Do you think this is one of those games where you can see like flashes of the New England Patriots of what they potentially could do?
You know, it's weird how you mentioned we thought Cam Newton. I wish it was Cam Newton. That guy does not scare me at all anymore.
No.
I'd rather play against the Cam Newton than Mac Jones. But, you know, it's weird how Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback taken in the first round. And he might be
the one to fall. You know, like, yeah. I don't know if Bill Belichick would have had – if Bill Belichick had his choice – of quarterbacks this year. I don't know if Mac Jones is the guy. I don't know.
I disagree. Cause if it wasn't, he wouldn't have drafted him in the first place. Belichick doesn't play that, man. He's not just going to go, I'll just pick guy. Cause this is the guy left. You know what I'm saying? You could be right. I could be right. I don't know. I just don't see him as that type of person, but regardless, he's the fifth quarterback taken. And like I said, he's playing right now. He might be the best quarterback taken. They really, and that's the thing. Yeah. Houston got blown out 40-0 by Buffalo, right? Mm-hmm. The week before they come into, they come home, they've been embarrassed. They came out hot and it's like, oh, well they struggled against the Texans. I look at it differently. They were losing big time and Mac Jones and that defense led them back. I mean, that was a resilient effort by the Patriots and, you know, for them to win, the way they did. I mean, that was pretty impressive with a rookie quarterback, with a young quarterback, even though the Texans had one too, but I'm just saying though. But yeah, as Mac Jones, I think what I think with Mac Jones, like I said, I feel that with he's going to be throwing a lot of short underneath passes. That's what he's going to be doing the whole time, which right. I think kind of fits into our defense.
As long as something that Brett's brought up a couple times about the defense is the fact that there's always like 8-9 hats on the ball. You know what I mean? They swarm. So like, I feel like if they can break up something in the backfield, that could be catastrophic for the Patriots to even potentially lose the ball.
He has a history with Trayvon Diggs. I was reading. Did you know that?
I did not.
Mac Jones. Yeah. Because of, you know, Alabama and all that. So I meant, so he's he's like, you know, I'm not afraid to throw. He kind of talked, he didn't really talk trash, but he did. I don't know how you want to take it. He goes, I'm not afraid to throw at any NFL cornerback. But then he like backtracked and said, but you know, Trayvon Diggs does make me think a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was funny the way he said it. But
yeah, hey, I'll tell you, if you watch the sounds on the sideline, I agree with Van Der Esch. Keep throwing at him then.
Yeah, right. The sound on the sidelines is one of my favorite things to watch. Only over wins, obviously. I think that's the only time they actually post them is the sound from the sidelines when they win games. But yeah, dude, first of all, if they want to keep testing them, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, he's got ball skills. You know, my dad said last week we're talking, he goes, how long before Trayvon Diggs is lining up on offense? And I was like, really? You would think that? Like, because you look at what Deion did in his career, you know, but I don't know if he's as fast as Deion. Obviously not. I don't think he's even remotely as fast as Deion. But, you know, the kid's a receiver at heart. You know, he was converted at college to play corner, which, again, you guys have agreed that is a much harder position to play, especially at the NFL level. You know, so what he's doing is great. And Mac Jones comes in, you know, his numbers aren't fantastic. The Patriots offense has been very just blah, I guess. I mean, there's nothing that really shows me anything as a threat to this Dallas Cowboys defense through five games. You know, the defense is causing turnovers and Mac Jones has caused his own turnovers.
You want to hear a crazy stat I thought of the other day when I was driving in the car?
You thought of it or you knew it?
Off the top of my head, because I was thinking, because he's a rookie quarterback, right? And I'm like, okay, what rookie quarterbacks have we lost to? So the first one that popped in my head was David Carr.
Yeah, on the first game ever for the Texans.
And then the second one that popped in my head was Joe Flacco, which was the Ravens Sunday night that you got thrown out of the bar when we closed Texas Stadium.
Wait, that was Flacco's rookie year?
That was Flacco's rookie year. So then I'm like, wait, what else is in common with that?
Hold on. So we lost to Derek Carr and Joe rookie. Flacco.
Oh, I got one. Tom Landry. Oh.
guess what else is in common with that?
I'm trying to think. Flacco.
We were on Hard Knocks that year.
Oh my god. Oh no.
I was like, wait, 2001. Oh my gosh. Never mind. Because we lost to Ben Roethlisberger his rookie year in Texas Stadium. I remember that one. I think that was like 2003 or 2004.
Oh, so clearly we have a really good record against rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, ones that have, I'm sure we've lost to others, but ones with names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm sure some scrub came in and, you know, I don't want to call an NFL player a scrub, but some guy came in and beat us that was a rookie sometime. But then the top name quarterbacks, you know?
Wow. All right. So Mac Jones could be on the new list or added to the list of, wow, what a coincidence. That's a nugget that RJ Ochoa has not spit out yet. And he usually spits out these like the Dallas Cowboys won a game yesterday. It was the first day at 73 degrees Fahrenheit that the Dallas Cowboys won. You know what I mean? So he always comes out with those nuggets. I can't wait to drop that on him and take full credit. So,
what does it take to be an entrepreneur and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, the only concerns right now going into this game for the Dallas Cowboys offensively, as we record this on Friday, the latest have come out and dropped from Mike McCarthy's mouth that things seem fine with Tyron Smith as far as he got an MRI yesterday on Thursday for the neck. Again, this is something that We worried about going like all year last year, just lingering stuff. But then he finally gets the surgery and he feels at his best. And look, there's going to be times, I think, look, you're five games into an NFL season and you're getting beat up every game. No matter how big he is, he's taking a lot of hits. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think this is just a kind of little bit of a wear and tear. But I was talking to Brett in pre before we started recording with Lyle Collins coming back next week. If for whatever reason this becomes a lingering thing with Tyron, Terrence Steele has been well off being fine playing right tackle. I know. It's like, it's crazy to think about. And then you would look at the returning Lyle Collins to play left tackle and protect Dax Blindside. If that happens, I'm not really concerned yet. I don't know about you guys' level of concern with this.
It's almost like I don't touch anything right now. I don't. The way our offense is going, hey man, you know, it's what are, you don't want to slim in. We didn't put Romo back in when Dak was a.
I don't know. I don't know if Terrence Steele is a Romo or a Wally Pipp situation where he's going to lose his job because of user got suspended. Man. He's obviously the better tackle, but the one plus side is that the Dallas Cowboys obviously play this week in New England, and then next week is a bye. So if there's any time to get reacclimated with football, you know, Lyle Collins returns to practice probably Monday or whatever. I'm sure they'll get days off, and then the bye week, and they'll have a couple walkthroughs. But then that ramp up week against for the Minnesota Vikings game would be relatively good for him. You're right though. If it's not broke, why would we even try to fix it?
Let's be cool with it and just tell him to you know, because wasn't he injured at one time, Collins?
Last year, right? We missed him. He didn't play a snap.
Hey man, rehab. Let's keep working out. You know what I mean? Let's keep you healthy because who knows what's going to happen.
Well, they did say it was the neck, right? The neck
for Collins for Smith,
which is recurring with him.
Yeah. So last year, like I said, last year and pretty much his entire career, he did have the surgery to kind of repair everything and clean it all up and get as healthy as he's ever been going into this year. And that was very exciting for Cowboys fans because it's been a while since we had the big man, you know, be 100% healthy.
Five games in a row. It's amazing.
Right. So nobody, you know, knock on wood, if you're with me, man, John Gruden, but I would say, but I'm saying like, as far as, you know, so the Dallas Cowboys also on the health department, you know, you do have a potential Wilson sighting at practice and maybe he gets back. But it's also like what you just said, Keith, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We have Kurse playing really well. We have, you know, these guys are getting extra reps based off of injuries. Do you really want to mess around with anything?
I mean, it's okay to have that kind of rotation though with the defensive backs. I think the offensive line is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no real rotation there. So, I mean, it's nice to see Wilson back in there laying the wood.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I just, you know, but you're right. Starting, I don't know. I don't, you know, leave it as it is right now.
Okay. When you look at the New England Patriots as a whole, when it comes to what they possess on offense, and that's what you really worry about because obviously the name of the game is to stop them from scoring. They've had a running back by committee for as long as I've been alive, I feel like. Yeah. I feel like the last true running back to come out of New England was like, I don't know, Curtis Martin or something. Like, it's been that long. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's been that long. When you look Corey Dillon to an extent, you're right. But that was
a hired gun.
Right, exactly. He was brought in to be what they have right now. You know what I mean? Like, these guys. Yeah. When you look at a guy like Damian Harris, who clearly is the clear-cut number one running back, are you at all scared of what he's bringing? He's got about 300 yards in five games, so obviously less than 100 yards a game. I think he's like 47 yards a game. So the rushing attack.
As a Dallas Cowboy fan, and Brett can vouch for this, what we've been through, every running back can scare me.
I'm going to vouch for it. I'm going to vouch for it. Keith is a Dallas Cowboy fan. I vouch for it.
But I'm just saying, though, it's one of those things where, like, every running back scares us. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can start naming running backs people don't even know and never heard of and are going to be Googling that ran all over us. Troy Stratford, people. Look that guy up for the Dolphins.
We're just dropping. We're name dropping.
I'm just saying.
I remember
that. Yeah, we were all excited. We just beat New England, actually, the week before in overtime with a Herschel Walker touchdown run. And we were playing the Dolphins. And at that time, me and Brett were in South Florida. And I was all excited. I think it was a Sunday night game. and we're like, yeah, we got this. And Troy Stratford, we're like, who is this guy?
And
he
there's
ran
no,
for like two, he ran all over us. And, be,
and there's
beat
no
our
Google.
Ass.
And there's no Google back then. So you really didn't know who it was.
No, we had no clue. I think even the commentators are like, Troy Stratford, what is this, Stanford or Stratford? So yeah, I don't, Damian, all of them do. But I hear Damian Jones was injured last week.
Harris is banged up a little bit. Yeah, it's all good. Harris is banged up. So again, I mean, we're catching them at the right time. I don't know, like the receiving. What's up?
I was gonna say their backup running back. There's two of them. That Stevenson kid is a big running back.
Yeah,
he's good. A rookie. Yeah, and you know when once again when they play the boys, you know they know they're on. They're you know. So I mean that scares me a little, but you know we'll see, man. They've been like I said, the defense has been impressing me all season. So I'm starting to get a little more relaxed on them.
So Trayvon Diggs, obviously, we talked about him way earlier about the interceptions and whatnot. My assumption is he takes out their best receiver, which leads me to believe that, you know, again, the Patriots receiving core, not that flashy. You know, they Nelson Aguilar and, you know, Neil Harry, I think his name is. It's just like they don't have anybody explosive. But I will say this, and this is what kind of worries me. Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, okay. They have a dual threat just like us as far as tight ends are concerned. Do you think, I mean, Keanu Neal is only one man as far as like coverage of one. If they line up in these big sets, does that at all worry you as far as the middle of the field is concerned? Because these guys, Henry, I feel like scores every week. I mean, I know he doesn't, but it feels like he does. So the Patriots obviously have that. And when you're a rookie quarterback, those are the guys you look for. You know, like you look for those underneath tight ends, kind of like what Romo did with Witten.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the right? Yeah, I mean, of course you got to be careful under there, but I think that's why Quinn brought in guys like Neal. I mean, look, let's be honest. As much as I love Micah Parsons, he's really not that great in coverage.
He's not. Not yet. He's not.
But I think Cox is gonna. You know, we're gonna see more of him. Look, man, it's. Tight ends are always like the third receiver or like the third safety valve, but you see tight ends being more and more prevalent in today's NFL, right? They're like from Kelsey to what's his name? Kittles. You know, and now even with Schultze, we're all I think it's gonna pose a problem. But you know, we do have the type of linebackers that can cover that. So I really want to see what Cox is going to bring this game as well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, last we saw him, he was laying the wood on Daniel Jones, and he, smacked him around and locked him into the next world. But yeah, I mean, he's going to get more reps, but you would assume that, you know, with the release of Jalen Smith, that was the reason they did it, you know, to get a guy like Jabril Cox up to speed and playing, because look, we all saw it in the preseason. We love this kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he was really, really explosive. But yeah, I mean, look, that's the Patriots in a nutshell. I mean, there's not much to talk. Their defense is okay. They do have a couple guys that definitely can make plays. JC Jackson leads their team in interceptions, so he can definitely change the game. Like I said, I talked to Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. What he told me was for the Patriots to be in this game or win this game, they need something crazy to happen. And when I say that, you know, you think of like a muffed punt. Or, some kind of turnover that the Dallas Cowboys self-inflict for the Patriots to stay in this game. Yeah. So with that.
That's a smart guy who you're talking to, by the way.
He was great. You know,
Wait, can I ask you guys a question? Sure. Was there anything, because you follow the line more or whatever, as far as what's online. Was there anything brought up about the way Badass and Dak, I mean, there was something off with their snap.
Yeah, I from what I read, it just seems to be even some of them they blame Dak, you know, like for not just like not grabbing it better. You know what I mean? Like they're there, like the snaps are there. It's just, but sometimes I'm looking at that snap and I'm like, you know, Dak shouldn't have to bend over like that. He shouldn't have to catch it with one hand to his right side. You know, like
that's what I was saying. Those snaps were a little off. I mean, unless that you always are, we never noticed because he's never dropped them. But when
he dropped one, he dropped one last week. It was a turnover.
No, I'm saying that's why we noticed it. I'm saying if the snap always looks that way, we just never noticed it because he never dropped it.
Right. You know, well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we do have I guess Connor McGovern, maybe Connor Williams. Like, these guys are all kind of in the rotation if they decide to make a move. But I think their confidence is in Tyler right now, Biotish, and it's just something they're gonna have to clean up, you know. And this is the game to do it. Maybe it's different because it's on grass. I don't know. There's so many factors in all this stuff. But what's up?
No, I was gonna say the only thing that makes me nervous about the Patriots is their defense. Because, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons they've been in these ball games. I mean, look, they slowed down Tom Brady. You know, I mean, they've had, you know, they've been, I think they're the fifth ranked defense right now. I mean, but then again, defense is, it's weird because there's no defense. Like, when the number one defense right now isn't a scary number one defense, like say the 85 Bears or the Ravens or the Bucks back in the day where you're like, oh my God, this defense.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? I don't think there's a defense like that right now. You know, that's
except,
just like,
except for us.
Well, no.
No, I'll tell you, we're not, I still don't know, man. It didn't look like we got much penetration last week.
No, I mean,
how many sacks did we have? One?
I don't remember, but I do know that we flushed Daniel Jones a couple times. I think, you know, Mike Glennon, you really can't. I mean, he's just going to sling them. You know, he was chucking them up for joy. He didn't know. He was like, you know what? I'm playing loose. Let's see if this, let's see if I can challenge Trayvon Diggs right now. Let's try that, you know, but obviously it didn't work out for him. But all right. So look, it's prediction time. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are riding high right now. They're 4-1, 4 in a row. This is their first game on the road since week one. So it's been, I'm sorry, since LA. As far as on grass games, this is their first since Tampa Bay. You know, they're playing nice with the turfs and stuff like that. So speed could be a thing. I'm not sure the weather report right now. As you guys are listening to this, if you're looking outside and sunny in Foxborough, great. You know, if it's raining, I'm going to get like 2 years ago vibes where it was like Dak and Cooper just couldn't get on the right page, blah, blah, blah. But you look at this Patriots team as a whole. I'll start with Brett. The Dallas Cowboys are 4-1, Patriots 2-3. They haven't really, you know, the Patriots haven't really impressed anybody yet, but does that scare you? The line is like, the Cowboys are giving 4 on the road, which is like, to me, it's, I hate it. But where do you see this one going, Brett?
Well, I'm afraid of them. Like, I'm afraid of every team every week. You know, look, the odds are,
so.
The odds are I had us at 4-2 at the break. Right. With us dumping to San Diego.
Okay.
We should win the game. We should win the game. We should win the game soundly. We should at least put up 35 points, but we may not because of the defense. I mean, you know, the Pats got a great defense and what are we averaging a game now? Over 30, right?
It's over 30. Yeah.
I think Dallas again wins this. I think did I call it close? Like, no, I didn't call it close last week. Did I?
You were horrible with your pick last week, by the way.
What did I say?
You said we were going to win with the last second field goal. Or
yeah. I don't know, man.
Cautiously optimistic. That's all.
Dude, I'm afraid. I'm older than you guys and I've seen this happen. I'm scared.
Oh, a little breath.
little bebop.
Little bebop would be in the room screaming and crying his whole life, except for goodness. 3 seasons. No, I think, I mean, obviously we should win this. I mean, we should on paper, but it's the NFL, you know? So I'm just going on what we should do. I say it would be 34 to like maybe 20.
Okay. 34-20 is Brett's 14-point banger of a wow. Week of a fifth straight win. Keith, where are we at with this? I'm a little different than both of you, I think, but go ahead.
Hey, well, look, let's talk about how I, you know, last week I pretty much nailed the point difference at least.
Wait up though. You did, but I was good to go.
I said didn't I say 34-13, I think, or something? But
it was close. It was close.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't bring up that I was right about San Diego and
well, so was I. I mean, we can go back. I mean, you can go back and listen to all the shows because I do. So, I mean, I don't know.
You could do that by subscribing to the Blog and the Voice Podcast Network, by the way, and listening to all of the hype that we're bringing every week.
So, here's how I look at this. As Brett said, obviously, yeah. I mean, you know, it is something when you look, oh yeah, we should win, right? We should win. We haven't beat them since 1996.
Right.
Which, by the way, was the only time where
it goes in there. Go ahead, nerd.
Because that's the year the Patriots went to the Super Bowl against the Packers.
Yes.
And that's at the time, I don't know if it's happened since, but I remember the stat that it was the only season where a team that beat both Super Bowl went both teams that went to the Super Bowl. So the Cowboys beat the Packers that year too, and the Patriots, but it was the only team in that team, you know, obviously. So that never happened before. But
and little did we know that a young stud, Drew Bledsoe, would one day be the Cowboys quarterback, in which he'd lose his job to Tony Romo. But go ahead.
Exactly.
How about him? I'm Drew Bledsoe losing his job twice. Tom Brady. And, like, come on, man. Well, holy hell.
At least they're great quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely.
Great quarterbacks.
Brady wound up all right.
Yeah, so, I mean, their offense, look, I just can't see. And when it came down to it, because I know how good their defense is, New England, I'm just thinking I cannot see them keeping up with us. I can't see Mac Jones keeping up with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. It's almost like the Eagles last night. And just, you know, it's time to talk about our offense as one of the greats. I mean, we have the number one offense in the NFL right now, I think, or number two.
At least Baltimore's number one. Yards per game. We're first.
But regardless, I mean, let's be real. It's happening, you know? So I mean, I just can't see them keeping up with our offense. I don't see us scoring over 30 though. I'm going to say 23-14.
Okay. 23-14 is the prediction from America's fan, Keith.
So I got a touchdown. So I said 30-14, right? No, what did I say?
Yeah, you said 34-20.
34-20.
All right. So with the Cowboys averaging 30 points a game, I think they hit the number. They hit that number at least. They'll score 30, and I think they're going to give up 17. But the thing is, so I think the Cowboys win this game 30-17. When I look at the Patriots as a whole, I feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's going to be once again close. Once again, I'm going to text you guys and just MF everybody, which is usually the case. But like it scares me because every time we go into a situation like this, like the Giant game, for example, like I said to myself, if the Dallas Cowboys lose to Mike Glennon and Devontae Booker and everybody that was coming in and like Kadarius Toney and like guys like that, where I was just like, if they lose this game, I'll never even sniff like the conversation about the playoffs again. You know what I mean? Like, because those are the games you don't lose. When you go into a Patriots team where they're back home, they're coming off a bad loss, and the one name we didn't mention not once this entire show was Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He scares me as a coach. He scares me to know that the last time Dak Prescott went into New England, it was one of his worst games. I get the weather sucked, but like overall, like he just didn't play right. They had his number. I think Bill Belichick will have Dak Prescott's number early where we're like, what the hell could we get going? And then second half, we just make our adjustments and then we go and take it home. But I think it's a lot closer than everybody thinks in the beginning. And it's going to be stressful just like every week. So.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the first half has been – every game has been close.
Yeah, so it's like Dallas Cowboys.
A little bit.
And credit to the coaching staff, I guess. You know, those halftime adjustments have been great because every second half, you know, we come out and blow the doors off teams. So
I agree.
So, all right. So, listen, we all got the Cowboys winning this week and moving to 5-1 to go into the break, which again,
that would be amazing. If we're 5-1 going into the bye week, that would be,
you know, what's funny. I think in our season long predictions, when we went week by week and I had them 5-1 at the break, y'all laughed at me real hard.
Yeah, we did.
Listen,
I want to say something though about like what you said about you lose to this team, you shouldn't talk about sniffing the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's what usually happens to good teams during the season. They lose to a lot of times they lose to a bad team out of nowhere. And you're like, what the?
Yeah. You know, I just don't want to scratch my head about this.
The first year we won the Super Bowl when we lost, you remember Cleveland Gary in 92 when he ran all over us at the Rams.
Yeah.
Rams were terrible that year. Oh, we got this. Boom. It happened. So I meant things like that. I remember when the Niners won their Super Bowl with Steve Young, they got ran out by the Eagles, like 37-10 at home. And everyone's like, well, maybe the Niners aren't that good. 'Cause the Eagles weren't that good at that time. And then,
right.
So, I mean, you know, those games do happen. So, I mean,
see, I don't know, man. Again, I'm seeing us crescendo. So, I think we should be
crescendo.
And if you had the over at half of a crescendo reference, you just won your bet. So, congratulations. Cash in right now. Double down on the Cowboys this week. So, for Dave Sturcio, Brett, and Keith Ernst, this has been another episode, another hype episode to get you ready for the Patriots game coming up 425 on the East Coast.
Let's go, baby.
In New England. In New England,
let's
get it done. Let's get to 5-1. And look, by this time at Sunday night, the Eagles had already lost to Tampa Bay. You know the Rams are going to just kick the crap out of the Giants this week.
Yeah.
And you know the Washington football team are going to struggle against a very angry Chiefs team. We can have a complete stranglehold on the NFC East by Monday morning. So hopefully that's the case.
Chiefs are killing me, by the way. They're killing me.
Yeah, I know. Their defense stinks. But anyway.
No, but they're killing me in my predictions. If they were doing okay, if they were ahead in the West right now, I'm winning a couple bets, but I'm not.
I'm me. I picked them to go 20-0, meaning 17, and run through the playoffs. So, so clearly I'm on board with you on that one, Brett. So, all right, let's go, Cowboys. We'll see you guys next week.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.